From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. I don't disagree. It's a great show we got. This is what we got. We got actor Jason Schwartzman. He's from the movie Rushmore and HBO's Bored to Death, the new movie Fantastic Mr. Fox. He'll be joining us later. But first, it feels like we've been talking about the health care bill on this show all year. And that's because we have, and we're glad to see that the bill has finally come out in the Senate. It'll be over one way or another pretty soon. But we were worried about the idea in the bill to raise funds by taxing elective plastic surgery. It's instantly dubbed the Botox. Have you heard about this?
So upsetting.
You see, the problem is, if that's how they're going to fund it, they're going to need to start encouraging it. So we expect the White House to open an office for telling you you look old.
And do you want the government to come between you and your wrinkles?
Are there going to be ugly panels?
But you don't need any tucks or lifts to call us on the phone. We can't see you. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
It's Paul Gibson from Oakville, Ontario.
Ontario? Oh, it's an international contestant. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's always so exotic when we get calls from, well, not overseas, I guess, Canada.
Well, I had to work on my own before I called. So.
You had to work on your what?
English.
I understand. Well, it's really excellent. Congratulations, sir,
like
on your English.
In the shower. Am I the only one to whom it
That's
sounds
just how
like...
Canada sounds.
Oh.
Well, welcome to the show, Paul. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Roy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Next, it's the ethicist for Oprah Winfrey's O Magazine, Miss Faith Saley.
Hi there, Paul.
And lastly, a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She'll be performing at the Calvin Theater in Northampton, Massachusetts on December 4th, Miss Paula Poundstone. So, Paul, you're, of course, going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time, our first game. Carl Castle will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain 2 out of 3. Do that, you win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You have home answering machines in Canada.
You do, when they don't freeze up. Yeah.
All right. All right, now here we go. Here is your first quote.
I watched Todd, tanned and shirtless, take the baby from my arms and walk him back to the ranch house. Seeing Todd's blue eyes smiling, I chuckled. Dang. Divorced Todd. Have you seen Todd?
What?
That was an excerpt from the newly released memoir by whom?
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, indeed.
What was that bang in there? Did she shoot a moose? Didn't she say
no, she said dang.
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 Oh, dang.
It's one of her folksy sayings.
Dang. Dang.
Well, was she thinking about divorcing him and then...
No, apparently this passage was, in fact, Ms. Palin referring to rumors that she was going to divorce Todd.
Oh.
And that was a little intimate. That was, in fact, the most intense view into the intimate life of a major American politician since Woodrow Wilson gave his famous speech, "When I see Mrs. Wilson in her petticoats, I could care less about the League of Nations." After months of anticipation, which followed whole weeks of writing, Ms. Palin's Insta-bestseller, Going Rogue, hit stores this week. Now, what's weird about her is half the country flocks to her appearances, hangs on every word she says. The other half looks on the whole phenomenon in utter amazement. Now, one theory for her polarizing effect is that she actually is sending high-frequency messages while she speaks that only a portion of the populace can hear. That's why her book signings are being tended primarily by rural white Christians, Fox TV analysts, and certain species of bat. Or maybe her appeal, which is considerable, if not universal, is based on her Evel Knievel-like courage in attempting things she's not qualified to do. Like running for the vice presidency, writing a book, speaking. Has anybody here, to be fair, read all or part of her book?
No, I feel it's like the Bible. Like, I don't need to read it. I already know what's in it.
Yeah.
I saw her picture on the cover of Newsweek in running shorts.
Yes.
And you know that old song, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish thighs. I don't know how that's going. She looked good. She always looks good.
She looks good. Here is your next quote.
There is no reason for an American president to do that. Our friends and allies don't expect it, and our enemies see it as a sign of weakness.
That was Dick Cheney. Remember him? He was criticizing President Obama for doing what during his trip to Asia?
Or bowing.
Bowing, right. Bowing to the Japanese emperor. The right wing, as they like to do, got very upset with President Obama, this time for bowing to the Japanese emperor. Hey! Who won that war anyway? But the real problem, from our perspective, isn't that he bowed. It's that he bowed so badly. This is true. A proper Japanese bow is done with arms at the sides, torso kept stiff, the bow at, you know, about 45 degrees. And Obama, you know, he grabs the emperor's hands and then practically kisses his own loafers he's bent over. So it wasn't so much a bow as a yoga pose. Downward facing president.
Don't traditionally American presidents throw up on the Japanese guys?
Yeah, it is. The
all right.
Accepted form of paying respects.
Then I think it was a step up, at least.
All right, very good, Paul. Here is your last quote.
I've never seen so many goth 12-year-olds in all my life.
That was a Los Angeles man. He was trying to push past the crowds of fans who turned up for the L.A. premiere of what new movie?
That would be New Moon.
Yes, the Twilight movie, Twilight New Moon. Very good. With Twilight movie number 2, New Moon, the series continues its redefinition of vampires. Instead of horrible monsters of the undead, they are unemployed Abercrombie and Fitch catalog models who sparkle. They sparkle in the sunlight, and instead of human blood, I believe they drink Red Bull and vodka. In this new movie, the sequel, the vampires are opposed by some monsters from a rival modeling agency. It ends when all the creatures of the night realize what they've been repressing and they move in together in a loft in Chelsea. I'm worried because I'm afraid for our children. What if they ever run into a real vampire?
Right.
You'll find them lying there in the ground, drained of blood, and they'll be saying, but I thought he would sparkle.
These vampires don't bite, is that right?
Well,
they do, yeah. They have to use restraint with those who they love not to bite.
Exactly.
What's the sparkle part? I'm so old.
When they're in the sun, they sparkle. What's the matter with you?
Apparently, these vampires, they don't disintegrate and die in the sun, as vampires do.
Well, do they have that whole element of driving a stake through the heart?
And garlic and crosses.
Crosses.
No, they don't have that.
You see what I mean?
No.
I mean, look, I mean, you got to feel bad at this point for, like, the traditional vampire.
Right. Yeah.
Like Nosferatu. I mean, he can't get a victim.
Right.
All the girls are like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't let you bite my neck. Mm. I think of you as my best horrific-looking friend. You're the vampire I can talk to, you know.
I think, really, that position was already taken by the Count from Sesame Street, don't you?
Yeah. Carl, how did Paul do in our quiz?
Paul, you did very well. 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Paul.